Welcome to From Lisbon with Love, a podcast about real stories of love, laughter, and life in Lisbon from women who have left it all behind.
The podcast where we share real stories about moving to Lisbon, starting over, and figuring life out along the way.
We talk love, dating, friendships, breakups, healing, growing, all of it.
Basically, the stuff we usually talk about over coffee or vino.
If you're thinking about moving abroad, already here, or just love honest conversations with heart, you're in the right place.
This is From Lisbon with Love.
Hello and welcome back. This is From Lisbon with Love. I am April Betts.
I'm Anna Sherina.
And this is
From Lisbon
with Love. With Love.
That didn't go smooth.
I know, it's okay.
It went better in the intro.
I know. Okay, so in this episode, we are discussing navigating a new country
alone. That was spooky.
We didn't even practice that. That was no. Just like natural,
random.
I know. So okay, so we basically are going to discuss what it was like for us transitioning our old life to this new life here in Portugal. So I'm going to start with you, Anna.
Yeah.
Tell me, what was it like? You're going to give me the perspective of what it was like coming from another EU country.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we're super lucky that it's super easy compared to what I've heard about like other continents, because a lot of things you can also arrange beforehand, which is quite easy. You can just do it online, and you can also do it there because you don't need a visa to go there. So it's like I just went there basically, and then I went well, at first I stayed in an Airbnb, mm-hmm. because, of course, I didn't have my apartment yet. I needed to go there to sign.
Okay. So you specifically came to Lisbon after you had already decided that you were moving here.
Mm-hmm.
And you came here, and what steps did you have to take to, like, get prepared to live here in Portugal?
Yeah, I found my apartment online, but we're going to do a separate episode about how we found our apartment and how that all went, because it's a super long story that we also like to share on a later episode. But anyway, I found my place online, and then I had a contact with the realtor, and I got the contract. And I think I didn't sign it online because I felt a bit more safe also to do it in person, because I was like, I'm gonna go there anyway, mm-hmm. to get the NIF number and everything that I needed to have in order to sign the contract. So I was like, I discussed with the realtor that I could just sign it later, because I already did a deposit. I paid a deposit, so it was
and
like...
And you did all of that over online?
Online. So it was okay. Like, everything was kind of secured already. So it was like, I only needed to sign and I could do that in person. So I just waited with the sign.
And then you felt completely comfortable doing this online with the person that you talked to, like, because I've heard of different people getting mm-hmm. scammed in yeah. that way.
I was also a bit afraid, but I got super lucky that I found someone to help me with all that.
Okay.
And that's also what I'm going to share in the other episode.
Okay.
Because that was such a blessing for me that yeah. made it a lot easier, because that person also helped me a little bit with the contract, because everything was in Portuguese and I translated it myself, like, manually, because it was like a super long contract and it was kind of a picture of a PDF, so I couldn't translate it. So it was like, okay, I needed to do it manually, so it was like a lot.
Yeah.
But
so you got your NIF, and for people who don't know, in Portugal you do everything in this country with your NIF number.
Mm-hmm.
It's like sort of kind of like the social security number in the States.
Yeah,
for
we
us.
Have the BSN number, we call it.
BSN number for you guys in
yeah, Netherlands. But I think I heard that the NIF is a bit different, because the NIF you can use for your taxes, but you also need the NIF for other things like signing an like a contract or opening a bank account. Mm-hmm. And you can also have a NIF in Portugal if you're not paying taxes here. Yes. So it's a bit different.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
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 But anyway, I didn't have the NIF before I moved. So, I mean, I could have got it online also, because nowadays there's a lot of ways to get it beforehand.
Yeah.
So you just have to Google if you want to do that. But I was like, I don't need to do it online because I had someone that was helping me to get it. And we got an appointment at like Finanzas. That's kind of the office here where you need to go to get your NIF number. And that's why, like, the first 2 days I stayed in an Airbnb in Alphalaat. That's like close to the airport.
Okay.
Because there it's kind of easier to get to the Finanzas because it's a quiet area. So there's no tourists going there.
So Finanzas is somewhere far. It's by the airport?
Yeah, but I mean, you have Finanzas in every area. There's a lot of offices here that you can go to because they have like different... in different areas, they have like a location.
Uh-huh.
But because that person told me, like, it's easier if you go to a place that's where quiet. It's quiet, because I heard that someone from some people that sometimes you were in line for the NIF for hours and sometimes you were waiting the whole day and then you were just sitting there in the waiting room and then they would tell you, like, we're gonna close, and then you didn't get it, although you were already waiting there for super long. So yeah, wow. I was like, okay, I don't want that to happen to me.
Yeah.
So that's why I just went to like a smaller office, like in the north, close to the airport, where no one knew about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I went there at, I think, 7:30 a.m. So it was kind of, I think I was the second one waiting. And the office opened at 9. So at 9:30, I got my NIF.
Oh, that's not good.
Which was crazy because I was already expecting to be there probably the whole day. So I got the NIF. I don't remember if it was free, if you would do it in person. You told me it was €5, but I literally don't remember that. Maybe I paid also cash, like €5, could be. And then I got the NIF so I could go to my realtor to sign the contract, because I needed the NIF to sign the contract. So I did that. And then after that, I got to see my apartment for the first time. So that was crazy. And I got my keys and everything. And I was walking around the neighborhood. And then I found out that I didn't have water and electricity. So I needed to sort that out on the same day. And I'm not sure if I spoke about it on an episode like the previous one.
I think
one,
you talked about it with me.
Yeah.
The whole story.
Yeah.
But yeah. I don't think we discussed it, or did we? I'm not sure,
but I'm just going to repeat it in short, because I didn't have water and electricity, so I needed to go to an office to kind of register, like, my address and everything, so they could kind of turn it on. I don't know, like, it was super random. I never did something like this before, because in Netherlands, all my utilities were included, so I had no clue, and it was also... in another country, in another language. So I was like, okay, I don't have a choice. I just need to do this and we'll figure it out somehow. And then I think the water was turned on the same day or the next day, but the electricity, there was a problem. So it took them 3 days. So that was a bit shitty, but I was like, whatever, I cannot even be in this house because it was also unfurnished. So I didn't have anything to do there. So then after I went to the electricity and water thingy, I went to IKEA. To buy a mattress, because I literally had no place to sleep. And I was already like, I already left that Airbnb where I stayed for 2 days. So I had all my stuff already in my apartment. So I was like, okay, now that I'm here, I need to sleep here.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. So did it work out with your Airbnb and getting the apartment? Like, it ended, or did you end your Airbnb early?
No, I planned it beforehand and it worked out.
Okay.
But I mean, if I didn't want to stay in my place without water and electricity, I could just book another Airbnb. But also because I had 2 suitcases, I was more than happy that I could just stay in that place, because it was a lot. Yeah.
Okay. So basically, coming from the EU, the only thing that you need to have is a NIF.
Yeah.
Is there anything else?
Well, that's not true. I'm lying, though. Because on the day that I got the water and electricity and everything, I also went to the... Oh, my God. Now I need to pronounce that name that I always struggle with. The Munich... municipality, the
municipality or something.
Okay. Oh my god. I never know how to pronounce that name. So I needed to go there too, and then I had to show my contract and my NIF, and then I got like literally a piece of paper with my that's kind of my documents
for living here.
It's called CRUE, I think. Crew.
Okay.
Crew document. Crew that's document. What you need. So you need, yeah.
Okay. So if you're an EU citizen, you have to get a NIF and then a crew document. And with that crew document is a, you need a lease agreement for an apartment here and just a NIF and that's it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's easy.
Yeah. Because I could even do it all on the same day.
Oh, nice.
Well, that's normally not how it goes. But because I was very lucky that I got like the NIF so early, I was able to do everything on one day.
Okay.
I forgot. Yeah, it was also going to register myself.
Yeah.
And I think that was it. But I don't remember that I ever had to use the... Oh, maybe I did once. The crew document. I think I only used it when I applied for Portuguese lessons.
Portuguese?
License? I'm on the waiting list.
Oh, lessons. For the lessons.
For the
free language lessons.
Yeah. Oh, from the government. Okay, gotcha. So that's the only thing where I needed it for. But I also heard that there's a social security number, and I don't know what that is, though.
Yeah, I heard about that one, too. I think that's only
you have
if
it?
You...
Do you have it?
No, I didn't have to get it. I think it's only if you have a business or if you're working here, then you have to get that social security
makes
number.
Sense. Maybe also if you go to the hospital or something. Well, I could go to the hospital, though. Without
is... I remember people talking about... If to get a NISS, I think that's the social security number. It's a NIS or something like that.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
But I don't know if you need that to go to the hospital or to get the health card.
Could be.
But
yeah, we're still figuring things out. I'm here a year. You're under a year. So
yeah.
It's like,
but I got private insurance, so I didn't focus on the on that. So I don't know. I don't know.
But
we're still figuring it out.
Yeah. But yeah, for me, it was quite easy to come here, I would say. I mean, there's still
considering what I had to go
through. Compared to you, it's easy. Yeah. I mean, there's still things you need to figure out and you need to plan things. But I think in general, if you're European and you want to move within Europe, you're super privileged that it's so easy with the open borders and everything.
Yeah.
So, yeah. How was it for you?
For me, it was a bit more. So I had to get a NIF and being in the United States and, it was just easier to pay for someone to do everything online. So I found all these different companies through, a Facebook group that I joined. It's American Friends in Portugal.
Cute name.
Yeah, I know. That Facebook group helped me out so much. That's how I got my visa. Cause I was just like, literally they have a whole guides list on like what you need and how to do it, where to go, links, websites, all this stuff. Mm-hmm. So it was a really good tool to use. And I had to get the NIF. I had to get a Portuguese bank account. I had to get an apartment lease, and I needed the lease signed before I even went to the appointment in the States to apply for the visa. So you literally had to already start paying for an apartment before you even know if you're going to be approved or not.
That's insane.
Yes. And I did all of that remotely. Mm-hmm. I found an agent. She was really good. I just used Idealista to see what apartments were available. I found a couple apartments that I really liked. She would go, she would videotape, and she would tell me, like, you know, which apartments would actually be good considering the area. And, like, there's a mold issue here in Portugal. On some of the apartments. So she was like, this one's been renovated, so you won't have that issue kind of thing. So she was like really detailed. So she was probably a Virgo. But
true.
But she was amazing. And I literally found the apartment and signed everything remotely. I hired a lawyer to look over the contract just to make sure that I wasn't getting taken advantage of or anything, because I've heard horror stories. I feel like that's all I see sometimes on that platform is just horror stories.
Share a little.
So it kind of like gave me a lot of like anxiety a little bit too, just the whole process, because I just wanted to make sure that I did everything right. I also had to get a background check, FBI background check. Yeah.
The take is very serious.
And what else did I have to, you had to show a certain amount of savings, and then you had to show where your income was coming from. And like, literally I had a packet like this thick of paperwork just to go to the appointment to, get approved. Basically you had to go to the appointment. And then they sent all the information to the consulate, and then the consulate would look over your package and then tell you if you're approved or not.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and that took, that process,
you're
took
a criminal.
Like, I know. That process took, and the FBI background check, I had to get it apostilled. I didn't even know what apostilled was until they said, you need to get this apostilled. I was like, what the heck
what is
this? Apostilled? So basically you get the background check, but you have to send it back to the government to show that it's a legitimate copy. So like they have to like stamp it, like notarize it, in a sense, but a particular sector of the government has to do it. It was this whole process. And then you had to have it all done by the time of your appointment. So like you literally had to like plan everything out. And once I went to the appointment, then they said it's 90 days to find out if it's a yes or a no. So I waited the 90 days and then I was like, okay, I hadn't heard anything. So I was like, I had already bought a plane ticket to come. I did.
Yeah.
I'm crazy. Like, I think about some of the stuff I've done and I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I did that. Okay. But yeah, I did.
Oh my God.
So I had already had all my stuff packed up and I still hadn't got word yet. And I was like, I'm going.
But you just had so much faith that it would succeed.
I did. Yeah. I really did. And then what was so crazy is like, once I got here, it was right before I left. They had finally came back with the answer and I had got denied actually because I applied for the wrong visa.
No!
So there's two different visas.
Yeah, you should tell also about this because it's super confusing.
Yeah, so there's two different visas. There's a D8 and a D7. Now I think they changed the D8 to a D9. It's very confusing.
Isn't the D8 the golden visa?
No.
And that's even another
one.
No,
that's another one.
That's crazy.
Yeah, because then when they sent me the denial, they said that I applied for the golden visa. I was like, no, I didn't. And they're like,
rich as girl.
And I was like, no. And I was like, no, I didn't. And then they're like, no, you applied for the digital nomad visa.
Oh, the temporary one, right?
No.
Oh, it's not temporary?
So there's a temporary and there's a long-term one. But I applied for the long-term one. But because of my income, they said you need to apply for the passive income visa.
Because
so
of
I
your
was
business.
Like, oh, yeah, because my business, they didn't consider it digital. Because
makes
of the process. It's not a digital. It's not like online.
Makes sense.
So I was like, oh, fuck. And this was like, excuse me. Oh, well. Watch out, kids. Beep. So then I was like, I got this right before, like, a couple days before my flight.
But.
So hold on. I'm going to get there. So I was like, I only had a couple days to, they wanted me to submit all this information for the, to, it's, what's the word? Like, if you get denied, then they want you to just submit the information. What's the word?
Reapply?
Not reapply, but just show the documents to get approved. Whatever. I can't think of the word. But anyway.
Don't ask me. It's not my language.
I know.
So.
So I got all the documents that they wanted. And I literally spent the whole day just running around town, like getting everything that I needed and got it all printed out, ready to go. I even contacted a lawyer that I was using for something else, but she didn't respond to me in time. And I was like, I don't have time. I just have to submit it. So I put all the information in. I put it in and I sent it to them next day. And I was like, all right, it's just in God's hands right now, because I was like, I'm about to get on a flight. And I was thinking, I was like, do I take all my stuff with me or not? Like, I don't know. I was I was like, fuck it. Let's do it. I was like, I had already packed up all my stuff. And I was like, I'm just going to go. And if it's meant for me to be there, then I'll get approved.
Yeah.
So as soon as I got here, maybe like 2 or 3 weeks later, I got a email saying, you've been approved.
Finally.
I know. So I was like, oh, Okay. Yeah. It was a bit stressful when I first got here. Yeah.
But what I was thinking, like, when we were talking about all this, you had someone helping you with everything, but did she also help you with the visa? Because then...
No. I did that all on my own. Right. So I almost hired a company to do that whole process, but then once I interviewed with them and they just told me, no, you collect all the documents, we just make sure you get all the documents. So I'm like, I'm hiring you to be like a, to check off a list, like a checklist. Like, I can do that myself.
Yeah.
And then because I had the Facebook group and everyone in there was like, you don't need to hire anyone, just do it yourself. So I took a chance and I did it myself. And it eventually all worked out.
Yeah, in the end. Luckily.
In the end, yeah. It all worked out.
So. But I get it. It's so confusing with all the visa things.
Yeah. And
there's so many.
The fee that they were charging to basically just be a person that just checks all your paperwork just to make sure that you have it. I was like, it doesn't make sense to pay you for that if I already know what I need to bring. So
yeah, I get it.
Yeah,
but I'm sure there's also companies that help you choose the right visa, probably.
Yeah, I mean, they actually told me, the people that I spoke to, they said that I could apply for either one.
Oh,
but she did say with the digital nomad, she said they might not consider your business digital, but you can still try.
Yeah.
And I tried, and they're like, that's not digital.
No.
But I was able to just show them that whatever I needed to show them for the passive income, and it worked.
Yeah.
So I got approved. Yes. I know. And then to continue on with the process, once you're here, luckily, they give us a visa, and the visa is only valid for 120 days. And you... if you're lucky, you get a visa appointment in your passport. In the past year, a lot of people have not been getting that appointment. So people have been waiting for a year or more for an appointment just to get their residence card.
Yeah.
So luckily, I mean, like, I'm supposed to be here. It's like everything just like worked out. So I got the appointment in my passport on the visa. The appointment was outside of Lisbon. So when I got there, I went to the appointment. I got there. There's like barely anyone there. I've been hearing stories of people waiting in line 4 o'clock in the morning, just trying to get an appointment, trying to get in. I walk in. I brought a friend of mine who speaks Portuguese just in case.
Smart.
I walk in. She speaks English. I was like, girl. Okay. Ah! Yeah. I walk in. I give her my paperwork. I go sit down. And then, like, 20 minutes later, they call me. I'm like, okay, just I need you to take a picture and just put your fingers here for the digital fingerprint thing. And I was like, that's it? I don't have to do anything else? And they're like, you'll get your card in 30 days. Yeah. And I've heard people have been waiting for years to get their card in the mail. Like, it's gone in the mail, and then it's got lost, or they can't find it. My card literally came in 30 days.
That's insane.
In the mail.
You're so lucky. But I think you also got here in the right time, because I think it was before you moved here that they switched companies, right? The immigration. So that's why a lot of people are kind of like on, like, below the, how do you say that? Like,
they're
on
their, like, lost on the list. They're lost in translation, in a sense, because before it was Ceph, and then the government changed and they created a new company called IMA. And when they did that, they didn't transition everybody. It was just like, okay, here's a new one, like everybody else, I don't know, figure it out.
Welcome to Portugal, guys.
So I was a little terrified with all of that, but everything just worked out. So yeah, so I have my residency card.
Yay,
I can be here for 2 years.
That's amazing.
And then I can renew and be here for another 3 years.
Okay.
And then I can get residency.
Do you know,
unless they change the rules.
Yeah. Do you know how that works now? Do you need to do, like, so, learn a language or?
Yes. So in order to get residency, I have to learn the language. I have to take a course. It's called A1 and A2. And
It's a beginner.
And the courses, I've actually looked them up, but they're all full.
But yeah, that's where that's the course that I'm on the waiting list for.
Yeah.
They said that they would have a place in 2026.
2026?
Yeah, and I applied in 2024. I applied 1 year ago. So oh, wow. Imagine it's...
I didn't even put my name on the list.
Well, you should. Because you need it for your residency. I don't.
Yeah.
But I'm on the list now. But I feel like when I got a spot, maybe somewhere next year, maybe I don't even need it anymore. Because they start from zero. Like, literally.
Wait, what starts from zero?
The language. Like, the learning process and everything. So it's like, I hope I don't need it.
Oh, by that point. Because you don't need it to get...
No,
resident, I mean, citizenship, because you're already an EU citizen.
Yeah, but I mean, imagine if I ever want to have like a Portuguese residency, maybe I should also learn, I should also prove that I've learned the language or anything, but I don't know how it works though.
Because you're an EU, yeah. Like it's like, doesn't really,
no,
it's like in the States, so it's like you just move to another state.
Yeah, true.
It's kind of like how it is here.
So it feels also a bit like that.
Yeah.
Now that I'm here, yeah.
Yeah.
And but I really like to learn, so I'll just learn it myself on my own pace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the different apps that we've been using have been going really well. Like, I really like the app that I've been using. I use Pimsleur.
You told me.
Yeah. I really like it. And then you actually told me about another one that I actually like too. It's actually a woman who has a podcast.
Yeah, the podcast. We can do her a shout out. Maybe we can also do a separate episode about learning language and all that stuff. But her podcast is called Tradutex.
Okay. Yeah.
Language learning. Yeah, she's really good. And she has like, I feel like she has kind of the Lisbon accent also. So it really helps.
Yeah, because and it's so different. I like the way she like sets it up and it makes it like very easy to remember.
Yeah, and she also repeats it a lot. And she explains it also really well. So you also understand the logic behind some set phrases and like the verbs and everything.
Yeah.
So that really helps. Yeah, I really like to listen to the to her podcast.
But my goal is to be fluent in Portuguese by the time I am able to get residency.
Makes sense.
Because I, like I said before, I like to know what everyone is saying.
Yeah. You will get there. We will both get there. And then we can speak to each other in Portuguese.
I know. We can practice. We'll do an episode practicing Portuguese.
No. Oh, that would be so much fun. We can do an episode in Portuguese.
Oh, a whole episode in Portuguese. Oh,
not now, but I mean, eventually.
Yeah, eventually. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not planning to quit this podcast next year. So it's like, no, we have absolutely time. Not. We have
That's
time.
True. That's true. Okay, check back in 2 or 3 years. We'll do a full episode in Portuguese.
Ah! Nice.
Okay.
Mark our words.
I know.
Okay. No, it's gonna be fine.
I know.
And fun. And we practiced already like last week, last Saturday with a friend of us. Yeah, it was his birthday.
Oh,
and
yes.
then we sang in Portuguese.
We did. We sang the happy birthday song in Portuguese.
It was so
luckily
funny.
I know. Luckily we had the words.
Yeah, the lyrics.
So the lyrics and
it's kind of the same melody as the English one.
We were just, you know, trying to do the right pronunciation, but it was hilarious.
Yeah, it was so much fun. We will share that video somewhere later, like in
should.
A bonus or
we
somewhere
should.
Else. Okay. Bella's also here.
Yes. Oh, I should shut that.
Hmm?
Are they being like loud out there? Should I shut the door? Okay,
I think it's fine.
Anyway, yes,
that was only the first question.
That was our first question, guys. That was long, but
we're gonna.
It was very detailed.
Yeah, it's gonna be a long episode today.
Okay, so Anna, how was your experience in the first few days here in Lisbon? What was that like for you?
Well, I think I already kind of explained that in only the introduction, like that I had to set up water and electricity and. I had an unfurnished apartment, so it was like I got my little mattress on the ground, and I was like, okay, what are we doing now? Because it was also summer, it was last summer, so I was like, where do I store all the groceries? Because I don't have, like, my fridge was also like not working, of course, because I didn't have electricity, so it was like I couldn't cook, I couldn't have a warm shower, so like basically I had water. And that's it. But also, I didn't have a water filter. So it was like I could practically not use anything inside that house for the first days.
Mm.
Bella's distracting us.
Bella's distracting us. And she wants her ball. So I'm going to go get the ball so she doesn't start barking. One second.
So, okay,
so continue.
So I would say, like, the first few days were just, I wasn't even like thinking in a way, it was just like acting. It was like I needed to do like all these things, so I was not really there with my mind. It was just like this checklist.
Like, I gotta get this, I gotta get this done, I gotta get this done. You weren't really like present, I guess you would say.
Yeah.
Well, you were, but like you were focused.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it was just like this whole checklist that I needed to kind of follow. So it was like I needed to get furniture also, and I was like, I don't know where to buy it. I went to IKEA, but yeah, of course, I remember I ordered a large Uber, like a van, to go back to my apartment with that mattress like in the back, and I was like, I don't know what else would fit in there because it was already full.
Oh my goodness.
So I got that mattress and that was it. So
yeah.
I had to do like a lot of trips to IKEA or other places, or I would order online, but that's just something that you need to figure out.
Yeah.
So I think for the whole summer my apartment was pretty much empty.
I got lucky because my apartment came furnished, but I almost got another apartment that wasn't furnished, and I had already like set up. I was like, okay, well, if it's not going to be furnished, I literally went on IKEA and I ordered I put everything in the cart that I think that I would need, and I saw that they delivered. So I was like, okay, if I time it perfectly, if I know when I'm coming, I'll order it, and then everything will be there when I'm there.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, but luckily I didn't have to do that. So I came here and it was all furnished, so I got lucky with that.
Yeah, that's really a benefit because
yeah,
I also wanted to order that mattress before, I remember, because I already knew which one I was wanting to get. But then it was out of stock and it would be delivered like 2 weeks after I arrived.
Oh no.
And I remember my mom saying like, you should just order it and then stay in an Airbnb for 2 weeks. And I was like, I'm not going to stay in an Airbnb for 2 more weeks because I want to be in my apartment.
Even I mean, that money to pay for an Airbnb for 2 weeks could pay for that.
That's like my monthly rent.
Yeah.
So and I was like fine sleeping on that mattress on the ground for weeks. I was like, whatever. Yeah. Like, I was so happy to be there. It was like on my little balcony. Like, it was so great.
Yeah.
It felt like a holiday the first 2 weeks. I was like drinking beer, eating chips.
That's the perfect
every day.
Yes, that's it right there. It totally felt like I was on vacation when I was here the first 2 weeks. Because I'm like
eating pastel and apple.
Dude, I'm eating everything that I would never eat like back home.
Same.
And I'm like, because of the pricing for like ordering food is like so much less expensive than it is in the States. I was like, I can order this. I can order this. I was ordering food like every day. I'm like, this is amazing.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like a vacation for me. I would say the same thing.
Yeah. And then I felt so unproductive, and I felt like I already gained weight in 2 weeks. Like,
oh my God, I know. I'm
drinking
totally
beer
did.
And blah,
I totally
blah.
Did. Yeah, I was drinking every day, and
I was
not drinking at all when I was back home in California.
No.
I drank like once a month, maybe. Here, I'm like,
whatever,
let's have
it's
a beer.
Monday.
Like, let's have wine. Let's, like, you know?
It's the sun. But yeah, for you, you're used to the sun. But for me, if I don't have it now anymore because I'm already here for a while, but when I arrived and I was sunny, it was like beer, sangria, da da da. But now, yeah, you cannot keep up with that lifestyle.
I would agree. No, you can't. No.
I mean, I can't.
But that's very true.
Yeah.
I totally felt like I was on vacation.
Even I didn't even have like furniture, but still, I was just on my balcony on the ground, like drinking beer, like yay. I didn't need much.
That's hilarious.
But anyway, how did you experience the first days?
Like a
holiday.
It was like a holiday.
Anything more?
I mean,
because you have a dog.
Yes.
So
also too, with her, I had to just make sure she got adjusted, and we basically toured the neighborhood, and she got to know where all the parks were that she likes, and yeah. It was a mixture of all of that, just like getting to know the neighborhood, just like vacation with food and alcohol. No.
Yeah, it was great though.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on.
Yes. While you go ahead and
we're
ask me this question.
You're going to distract Bella again.
She's hungry, so.
That's why the episode is so long.
Yes. Okay.
Okay. What would you say was the most challenging about settling into a new place alone? In a new country alone, like the whole package.
The most challenging?
Mm-hmm. Like settling in here alone, in a new place, new country, like...
I would say just getting to know everything.
Mm.
Adjusting to life here, adjusting to, like, the time. Like, because in the States, we just do, like, 12 hours.
Mm,
and here
true.
Is the 24-hour thing.
Mm-hmm.
And also with the temperature.
That's insane.
With, like, because everything here is Celsius, and in the States, everything is Fahrenheit. So every time someone was like, oh, it's going to be 23, I'm like, okay, let me Google.
I think you need
that is.
You need like a schedule, like 23, and then like an outfit picture, what you need to wear, what's it about, do you need a jacket or not?
Seriously. And then also, too, I thought it was interesting, like using the oven here, because it's in Celsius, too. So I'm like...
You had burnt toast
I was
every
like,
day.
Should I put it at 180? Should I do it at 200? I don't know. But I mean, I used a lot of Google to try and figure out the right temperature and things like that. But let's see. Also, too, with like, so I, with my internet and cell phone, it all came in with a package together.
Okay.
And with that package, it included, they gave me a free TV.
Oh.
Yeah.
That one?
No, I have one in the bedroom.
Oh my God.
I know. So they gave me a free TV and they gave me a 2-year free subscription to Amazon.
Wow.
Yes.
Girl.
So I was like, okay. So I started, I mean, back in the States, I ordered everything off of Amazon.
Mm.
So I was like, yeah, I want Amazon here. So I had been ordering things off Amazon, and then I notice here, like when they come to deliver, they deliver you, they give you a code, and you have to give the code in order to get the package. Like they
really?
Don't leave packages. Like in the States, they'll just leave the shit at the door.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah. But here it's like, you have to like either physically be there or you can give them the code one time. So I kind of got to know one of the Amazon guys that delivers all the time to this neighborhood. No.
Ah! For the next episode, it's gonna be about dating. No, I'm joking.
He does give me the eye though. No, but anyway.
Was he cute?
He's okay.
Mm, that's not enough.
He's like it's like a sweet cute. Okay. Anyway. So okay. One time I wasn't here when he was delivering something, and they have your phone number to call
mm-hmm.
when they're delivering, and he only speaks Portuguese. So I was like trying to speak Portuguese, but I can speak Spanish better. So mm-hmm. I just jumped to Spanish, and it's so funny because he responded back in Spanish.
Oh my God.
But he was like, okay, I'm going to leave it at the door. What's the code? So then I gave him the code and he left it, like he hid it. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess they can do that. I don't know if they're supposed to or not, but maybe he did it because he had always like
maybe.
Been delivering stuff for me. But that was something interesting with I guess sort of kind of challenging.
Yeah.
Different.
Yeah, it's different.
Yeah.
I also noticed that when I got like a package from DPD, I think they asked me for that number and I was like, I don't know. And then he was like, can you sign it? And I signed it.
He you just can
went.
Sign? If you don't have the number?
No, I think I had to sign anyway. But he was like, I'll trust you or whatever. Because I didn't know that number, so I had to look it up. I didn't even see that it was like in the mail or something.
Uh-huh.
So he was like, whatever, just sign, I'm fine.
And also too, like I actually had a package delivered today and he was like, your name? And I was like, April. He was like, okay.
Yeah.
So I didn't need to give a code for that one. But I notice, like, when they see my name, they know that I'm not Portuguese.
Yeah.
It's funny. Probably. So they're like, okay.
Your name is not on the list, I think, here in Portugal. No. So.
Yeah, so if you don't know, in Portugal, they have a list of names that you can, that you have to choose from to name your children.
Yeah.
You have to choose from the
list. That's why everybody is called João.
Yes.
Because they...
Or Nuno, or...
Yeah. And Miguel.
Yeah.
A lot. And so. There's many more, but yeah, they're kind of like they're out of inspiration
because well also too I think it stems back from the dictatorship.
I'm joking.
No.
There's a reason for it.
There's still a list and they still have to go from that list unless they are married to someone who's not Portuguese.
Yeah,
then they can go outside
so
of it.
You have all freedom
if you marry someone that's not Portuguese.
If you marry someone and you have a kid, I mean, let's say.
Yeah.
We as foreigners would have the freedom.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. If we're marrying a Portuguese.
Yeah.
But not planning
to. Yeah, because I'm going to name my kid what I want to name it. I'm off some list.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? No.
So
come get me. No, I'm joking. Yeah.
They would put you on the plane back. Like,
I don't know. Don't do it. Okay.
Anyway.
Oh, one other thing I would say, the whole meter situation. Mm-hmm. So here in Portugal, the meters for like your your electric, your gas, your water.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a whole meter thing. I don't know if it's the majority inside the apartments or majority outside, but mine is inside. So every month someone has to come by and read the meter.
Mm-hmm.
And they leave like little notes on the door saying that we're going to come around this time on this day. And literally you just have to let these people in and then they read the meter and then they leave.
True.
Back in the States, it's all done outside.
Mm.
So you never have to deal with anyone. But that's another thing.
My meter's outside.
Oh, all of them?
All the apartments, you mean?
No, all of your meters for everything is all outside?
Yeah.
Oh, so you never have to deal with the people?
No.
Oh, nice. My apartment's older.
Yeah, maybe. Could be. Could be the reason, though.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Anyway.
All right. So our next question for Anna. How has your daily routine, is it different than in your... Oh. Okay, let's switch it up.
God.
What are some things about Lisbon that you didn't expect?
Well, I told in the previous episode or the one before, I think it was the first episode, that I visited Lisbon 9 times. So it was like I knew what to expect, like when it came to like the main thing, but. Like you mentioned before, like all the practical, all the smaller things that you need to figure out. Mm-hmm. Of course, you can only know that when you move here.
Yeah.
But I think for me, it was something that I think it was not unexpected. But I feel like in Lisbon, it's always noisy. I feel like it's never silent compared to my hometown. And I think it also has to do, of course, with where your apartment is located, because mine is on a busy street. So I feel like, and I knew that beforehand, because I went to many Airbnbs and I went to many areas and I was like, it's never silent. But then I wasn't sure if it would bother me that much. But yeah, it was a bit overwhelming when I first arrived, because you have like all these... this in the street, like cars, like day and night, and I live close to the bridge, so you hear even like the, it's kind of a white noise, it's always like a shh from the bridge. I live under like the plane route to the airport, so it's like planes every 3 minutes, and then like in the supermarkets close to my house, they have delivery every day, and also the garbage thingy coming at night. Like
it's like non-stop for you.
I know, my garbage thingy is coming, and like the garbage truck is coming. I think it starts at 11:30, and then it's kind of making a whole route around my apartment, so it comes back like half an hour later. So I can hear the truck 3 times, like within 1 hour. They just have this kind of route. So, and I recorded it. So maybe we can, you want to listen to it?
Oh, you have it right now?
Yeah, okay. It's on my phone. If yeah, you can get my phone. Because I remember that, of course, we're going to record this episode today. So mm-hmm. I was laying in my bed and I heard the trash thingy coming. So I was like, okay, since I'm not sleeping, let me just record it because it's a thing, you know?
And you hear it every Tuesday, Thursday?
No, every day.
Every day?
Unless it's Sunday, because on Sunday...
They come every... Oh, for the different...
Yes.
Oh. Okay.
That's yeah, because thing, you have yeah. like paper days, plastic days, normal garbage days. Yeah. But Sunday is my favorite day of the week because then they're not working. So I can sleep like very well. And that's also why I mostly sleep with the windows closed in my bedroom. But now that it's so hot, I have like sometimes the window open or the doors to my bedroom are open, the door. So there's always some noise. And I recorded this with my bedroom window closed, but the door to the living room and all the other areas open. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, here we go.
Oh my God, it sounds like something dying. And that's every day.
That's every day. And I always know when I'm like going to bed too late, because if I hear the garbage truck coming, I'm like, okay, it's past my bedtime. So I'm fucked up now. And it's almost every day because now it's so freaking hot. The last weeks, so yeah. I'm sleeping like later than usual, yeah. So I'm kind of like fucked up, but we gotta work with it.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
okay.
Yeah, so I think for me it's more like the noise and like there's always like something going on. And of course that's something I knew beforehand, mm-hmm. but now living here, I remember the first weeks, I was like, I'm not sure if I can do this.
Yeah.
But now of course, like after a year, I'm pretty used to it.
Yeah. So.
How was it for you?
For me, I would say it would be, in regards to the garbage, since we're talking about garbage. So for me, I have to actually walk two streets away to throw my garbage away.
Mm.
And when I first got here, luckily my neighbor, she is friends with the landlord here, and she was very sweet, and she... the first day I was here, or the next day, she invited me over to her place, and aww. She kind of just like welcomed me to the neighborhood, mm-hmm. which is really sweet.
Yeah.
And so I was able to ask her any questions that I had. So when I got here, I was like, well, wait, what do I do with the garbage?
Because
mm-hmm. I was like, there's no back, because yeah. it's like the people below me, it's their whole area. And so I'm just on like the top level. So she said, you have to take your garbage, and she gave me like the coordinates. Well, she sent me the Google pin, and I was like, what? I gotta walk all the way over to the throwaway trash?
Oh, my God.
So then I was like, okay, let me think about this. So there have been times where I have taken the trash over there when mm-hmm. it's, like, in between the days, and I was like, I gotta get rid of the trash.
Yeah.
But I noticed that the other buildings, they put out their trash bins on trash night, and I was like, well, why don't I just add my... trash mm-hmm. to their trash bin. I mean, it's just sitting out there anyway.
You mean the bigger containers? They have the blue and the yellow and the, yeah. like the colors.
Yeah. So I was like, well, and then they would either be full or they would have bags on the side. So I was like, what's going to make a difference if I add my bag to it?
True.
They're picking it up. If they already put it out, it's not like I put it in their house mm-hmm. and they have to. So I've kind of been doing that.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot easier.
No one noticed.
No, but it's like, because people put their trash bins out like way before
mm-hmm.
the trash people, because they don't come until like 1 a.m. here on my street. So
yeah,
people put the trash cans out at like 8 p.m.
Yeah, but they also do that in my apartment, but I think like in the building, but I think it's also because then everybody's going off from work, and then they have time to kind of collect the garbage and put it in the thing. Because I remember when I moved in, they would put the container out like from the morning, and then it would be full by the evening. So you had all these people going like home from work, and it was already full. So I think that's why they decided now to put it a bit later, and also maybe because of the heat, because it's gonna smell also. So they also they only put it now out at night, and yeah, if it's full, you can just like put it like next to it or on top of it. I mean, if it's like stinky trash, you need to get rid of it.
So I mean, that's what I saw on my whole street. Everybody had their stuff out and there was stuff on the side. So I was like, what's the difference if I add my little bag to the mix?
Yeah, no one cares. But can I ask you, do you also do that at night when it's
dark? I do it at night. Yeah, I know. No one can see. And then right as I'm coming out, I'm like looking to see if there's anybody on the street. And then I like, and then I go back.
Oh my God. Yeah, but yeah. I also remember when I went on a trip to Netherlands, I would leave in the morning or in the afternoon. And the trash, like the container, they put there like after 8 or 7 like in the evening. So it's like, what do I now do with all this trash, because I was going away for 9 days. So it's like, I cannot leave it on a balcony with like 39 degrees that it's gonna be. So I ordered my Uber, and then I was there with my suitcase and everything, and I would just put the bag like on the place where normally the trash container is. It was like, okay, like during the day, it was just I was like, I don't
know. You just stuck it out there. Okay.
Yeah, because sometimes there's other containers in the street that I can use. So I just walk to another one and put it there. But I checked already, there was nothing where I can put it. So it's like, I just leave it here because they know, they understand that it's for the trash.
Yeah.
And I was like, bye.
Do you not have the storage, the trash bins in your neighborhood? Like the...
You mean inside?
No. Outside. Like on the street. You know,
like the public.
The public.
Yeah, but... it was a big bag because I collected, it was like the whole trash for, because I was going on a trip, so it was too much.
Your neighborhood, do you have them in your neighborhood?
I have, but they're kind of small, so it's like, I couldn't fit it in there.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Because they also have this, if you're not watching the video, they have kind of, how do you say that? Thing on top of it, so you cannot really store. Only,
like, open it, or you can open it from the back, but still,
yeah, you can. Yeah, too. If you have like a big bag, you cannot really store it in the smaller. It's really hard to get it in there. So,
wait, no, I'm not talking about like the like on the pole. I'm talking about the big public trash bins where they have like for the.
I know what you mean, but they only have it like in parks or in beaches. They don't have it like randomly in my. Not in
my area. It's not anywhere in your neighborhood at all?
No, they don't have it. It's mostly, I think, for touristy places. Like, maybe in Estrella they have it.
They have it all over the city.
No, they don't. No.
They don't have it over there?
No.
Huh.
Remember we did happy hour in that little park at my place?
Yeah.
They don't have it.
No, they're not at the park. They're just, like, in random places on the street.
But where? Like...
So, like, the one that I have to go to, it's, like, on just a random street. But it's, like, the trash men, they go there, and then they, like, open up this whole thing.
Oh!
And then they dig out all the trash that people have put. It, like, goes into the ground.
Ah, I know what you mean now. Yeah. But those you can only open with, like, a pass, right?
No.
Oh.
That's for everybody to put your trash. That's what I'm supposed to do.
Now I think I know what you mean. But we had that in Netherlands. It was like the only way to put the trash out was like these containers that go like under the ground.
Yeah.
But then you need like a pass to open it, because they're counting how many times you use it, because you need to pay for like to the government or something for that. So you have your own pass, so no one else can use it. So I think
here you don't need a pass.
I think that's why I never thought of these things as usable for me.
Look
because
at that. Okay.
But yeah, I think now I know what you mean. I think they're like on the next corner of my house, so I could next time
they're
go
free.
There. Yeah. But yeah, just put it in front of my apartment. So It worked too.
Yes. Well, now you know. We learned something. You learned something here.
I know. Oh my God. That's so funny. We talked, I think, like 20 minutes about trash. I know. But it's a thing okay. here.
It is.
Yeah.
All right. What's next?
How is your daily routine different than in your home country?
Considering like when we talked about how when we first got here, I was just all about like eating and drinking.
Mm-hmm.
That completely changed. Like it took me a minute to get into my routine.
Yeah.
Because like back home in my routine, I would like get up, I would make my smoothie, I would like go do yoga, and then I would like come back, and then I would like either do stuff for my business, or I'll take Bella to the park, or I did all these different things. But it didn't include ordering food. It didn't include drinking. And it was all about like eating like super healthy. Like I ate like all like organic stuff and just like I was being like super healthy. I would order food every now and again, but it wasn't like a regular thing.
Yeah, makes sense.
But here it took me a minute to get into a routine, like to find a gym that I wanted to go to. And then like, I don't know, because then I have so much time, because it's like, okay, now I have to be organized with, like, what am I going to do, and, like, in what order am I going to do it, and, like, I don't know, it was just a little different, because now I don't really have, like, a time crunch on, like, certain things.
Yeah.
So it's, I have to do it all myself.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that's a huge change.
Yeah. What about for you?
I don't think it's that different. Because I moved my business with me, so it's like I already had my routine when it came to work, because I like to work in cute coffee places like some days of the week, just to switch it up. But a thing here that I never did in my hometown is working in a library, which I really like to do, because it's always super quiet, and they have AC, and they have like super comfy chairs. Oh, nice. And they have plugs everywhere. Oh, and perfect. No one is bothering you. It's like there's always space to sit, and they also have like a cute garden. So mostly I'll just go there and bring my lunch, and then I'll take a break there in the garden. They have like toilets, super clean, so everything is like super well. And that I would never do in my my hometown, because the library was always like occupied with students. You would never ever find a place there, and also I would feel a bit out of place because there's only like people studying. But I feel like here in the library it's super different people, like older people, younger people, like high school people, working people. So it's like I feel very at home there. But now the library is closed, like, for the whole summer. And I'm literally, like, I feel like I lost my life.
Oh, no.
Because I really like to go there. Yeah. And now I'm, like, working from home, and it's, like, super hot inside. And, like, so I really look forward to the library being open in September.
I want to go to this library. It sounds, like, amazing.
It's super nice. And it's only a five-minute walk from my house, which is really funny, because I realized, like, later in the year, I think it was like last fall, that I had a library so close, because I never knew about it. And I think I just walked by it and was like, oh my God. And then I went there like every week to work. So that's been super great. And I think for the rest, yeah, it's kind of the same. However, like now in the summer, I'm kind of adjusting my routine to the hot weather, which is something that's I would usually not do in Netherlands.
I would say with the hot weather, I don't want to go to the gym.
Yeah.
It's too hot and I have to walk like,
I know,
like 10, 15 minutes to get to it. So I'm like,
yeah. So I feel like now in the summer, I'm kind of out of my routine, because you need like to do your daily things. You need your groceries, your work, and just the basic things. And now I feel like I don't have the energy to do like home workouts or yoga or like walking. So I feel like I do the bare minimum now, and I also sleep a lot later because it's so hot, because I want to like open the windows and everything. I want to get some air in before I go to bed. And then the next morning I wake up late and it's already like super hot. So it's like I'm kind of, I don't know,
I noticed
I miss my normal routine, like my productive routine, you know,
productive
what I mean?
Routine. Yeah. I noticed that I sleep very late here as opposed to I did back in the States, because also too, during the summer, the sun doesn't go down until like almost like 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
maybe even later.
For us, it's normal though, but for you, it's different. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, I still feel like it's like early time. And the next thing I know, the sun's down. So I'm like, oh, it's probably like, you know, 8. And it's like 10.
I know.
And I'm like, it's next thing I know, it's 11. I'm like, it's 11 already? I'm like, what the heck?
Yeah. You still feel like you have the whole night, yeah. And it's already late. It's already bedtime.
Next thing I know, I'm like,
the garbage incoming.
It's 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, I'm still awake.
I know.
I'm like, okay, time to go to bed.
Yeah, that's how it goes. But I think once the summer is over and it's getting dark earlier, mm-hmm. we would be more productive, like getting into our routine.
Yeah.
But I really like my routine. I feel like it's just really balanced now with the summer, like going to the beach and like taking it a bit more slow because you also have to. But I'm also looking forward to like a bit more normal days, like but we'll see.
It's a good balance.
That will happen.
Yeah, of course. All right, well, what's something you still haven't figured out or find confusing about life in Lisbon?
I think within a year, like pretty much it, like the days of the garbage, how that all works, and I know where to collect my things, like to get the food that I like, and all those basic things I know. Mm-hmm. Well, I recently found out about the garbage thing you told me, like, so that's something new.
Yeah, we learn something new every day here because it's like,
there's still things there's so much to explore. Yeah.
Absolutely.
But one thing I also don't understand still is the trains, because if you go, for example, on the bus or on the tram, you use your, I have a Portuguese transport card, so I can use that if there's money on it, but you can also use your credit card or whatever card you have to get in the bus and in the tram, so you just check in. And if you go out, you just go out because it's always the same price. Wherever you go, you can just go like for 2 stops or you can go like to the end point. It's always the same price. But for the train, it works a bit different because they have zones.
Yeah.
And I don't understand that very well because
I'm like a little confused by it too. Now that you think about it. Because every time they ask for the zone, I'm like, I don't know, I just want to go. But it doesn't ask you where do you want to go, because I remember in some places it'll say where do you want to go, and it'll say okay, you need this zone, but this doesn't. It just says which zone do you want.
No, and also like recently they made new machines, so before it had these green old school thingies where you would never see shit because the sun was always shining on it and you could literally not see what you were doing. But now they got new machines and I think those work a lot better. But
it doesn't really explain.
No, it's still kind of hard if you're new to the system, because I don't think it improved the system. It's just only like it looks more modern and like you can see what you're doing, but still it's kind of hard to understand. But what I learned is that you have a billet simple, so it's like simple ticket, and if you click on that, you can select the station that you want to go to, and then you pay for that amount, and you can also choose like a return ticket if you want. So then if you charge it on your card, you can, but you still have to do the check-in.
Yes.
And the part that I don't get is I have this Portuguese transport card where I can just put on like an amount of money, like 10 euros, 20, whatever. And I now have this subscription, the Lisboa card, for 30 euros. So I can go like unlimited in like all the transport within Lisbon. Because I was like, I cannot go to this fucking library in the whole summer.
Yeah.
Kind of melting in my house. So I was like, let me get this transport card for the summer so I can just go to other places. Let's say I'll go to the beach in Cruz Quebrada. And I check in Alcantara, it's free because Alcantara is Lisbon. But then when I get off in Cruz Quebrada, do I need to check out? Because how do they know that I went to that station? Because in theory, I think you should also pay because it's outside of Lisbon. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Because I check in for free because I have that subscription. Yeah. And then I'm
but
there.
But there's no checkout when you go out.
There is a checkout, but I'm just, I just don't know if I should use it, because sometimes I feel like they charge you again, and you also need to go back, and then I do, of course, the check-in, because otherwise you're like...
But no, in order to check out, don't you have to go through a thing?
No, they don't have it in every station. It's only the bigger stations.
So then you
like
don't have to check out then?
I think you should, because on these bigger stations, you have to do it.
The things are just for checking in. It's just for to activate.
I know. You need to activate for sure. But the part what I don't get is, for example, I go back from Cruz Cabrera to Alcantara. I check in. But how do they know if I check in that I'm going to Alcantara and not to Santos or Cais Sodré? How do they know? Because then, if I check out, I should pay more.
Mm-hmm.
And now I feel like...
Because you don't check out.
How do they know where I'm going? How do they know how much
they
charge me?
Maybe they just charge you the most.
Yeah, so that's the part that I'm not understanding. Do I need to check out in order to...
Not
because
get charged.
It can also be in my benefit, you know?
Yeah.
And also what I've noticed, if you don't check in, officially you have to do it. But sometimes when I buy the ticket and you have the money on your ticket, I literally forget to do the check-in, which is stupid because in Netherlands it works the same. But anyway, because you buy the ticket, so it's like, I feel like I already have my my proof that I paid. But then when you get on the train and they check your card, they scan it and then they kind of like take that amount from your card. So if you forget to check in, it might not be a problem because they take the money from your card because you already paid. But then a friend of us, George, he told me they only do it if they're like in a nice mood, because officially they can give you a fine if you didn't check in, although you have the money on your card. So it's still a bit
because
the train part.
In the sense, you don't get charged unless you check in. So they're saying, even though you have the money, but you didn't officially pay because you didn't check in.
Right. Because if they don't check on your card, you can still use that same card for another trip.
Yeah.
So it makes sense that they take it off. But I just didn't know that that was an option, that that would work, because in Netherlands it wouldn't work like that.
Well, I learned something new. I didn't realize that you could do a simple ticket and just pick the, because every time I went to the thing, it just asked for, like, it just said a zone. It said four zones or whatever, and I was like, I don't know what zone I'm in. I don't know where I'm going, what zone that
exactly
in. So I just bought the ticket, not knowing what, and I just like, we'll see if it works.
Yeah,
but I like the, I need to find out where that simple ticket is on there.
Yeah, I think it's it's
but
more
I feel
like
I've used it before, but I haven't seen it since. I don't know.
No, but they changed also the machine, so maybe you haven't seen it anyway,
because of the okay,
because that new machine, I think it's there for maybe this month or last month, so it's only a short time.
Okay,
but you, yeah, we will get there.
Yeah,
at least we didn't have a fine yet for anything.
Oh my gosh, thank goodness.
And you, because I remember last year you didn't know how the bus works and everything.
Yeah. I never used the. I've been here for our, let's say 8 months now, and I only used the bus recently because I didn't know, because in other places that I've traveled in Europe, you had to buy the ticket from a special place, a little kiosk of something, to get on the bus. You, and no, I don't remember any places actually taking money from you to get on the bus from other places that I've traveled. So I was like, okay, well, in order to take the bus, I gotta go find a ticket, and I was like, I'm not trying to do all that. So
too much work.
It was too much work until you told me that you can just tap pay.
But I didn't know. You know what the funny thing is, I always say when my friends visit me, my Dutch friends, I'm always like, please bring cash, because in many places here you can still not pay with your card. For example, like some beach places, and also like that pay shop where I always go and where they sell cigarettes, and like there are still a lot of places, and also sometimes things just don't work. So I feel like cash is always a good thing to have here in Portugal. But then I also said, like, keep some coins for the bus, because on the bus you need to pay cash. And then, I don't know, they were going without me, I think. And then they just used their card. But that's
wait, you can pay cash on the bus?
Yeah, of course. You can pay cash everywhere in Portugal.
Oh, so you just pay the driver? Because they seem like they're just like...
You can just pay him too.
No, they're sitting in this little thing and they're like completely covered. And it seems like, don't talk to me. Just
they're always so nice.
They're nice, but they just seem like you don't talk to them. Like they're just driving the bus.
Yeah, because everybody has their Portuguese transport cards.
I didn't realize you could actually pay the bus.
Well,
driver.
Now you learned something new again.
I learned something
else. I didn't know that you could pay with your card because my friend said that they just used their Dutch bank cards to check in the bus. But apparently that's also kind of a new system. Mm. I don't know when they started with it, but they're still advertising that you could pay with your card on the bus. So I think many people don't know. And also it saves a lot of time because sometimes there's like literally 20 tourists stepping inside and they all want to pay like separate with cash. Yeah. So it takes a lot of time.
When you pay with cash, does he give you a ticket?
Yeah, he gives you like a piece of paper.
Just a piece of paper.
And I remember one time I got this piece of paper because, of course, I paid like normal people would do. And then there were people like checking everybody on the bus and they would say that my card wasn't valid. But I think because with like the summer and the winter hours, it's the hours change here in, I think, all over the world, right? It's just summer and winter time.
Oh, because the hour change? Yeah, yeah. Spring forward, fall back.
Yeah. Okay. So it's like... I think the time on my ticket was not like the actual time. So it was like it was like back in time. So they said that my payment kind of like expired because it was like the wrong time. But I think that the machine of the guy, like the bus driver, was still on the previous time.
Oh, so it was like an hour.
But yeah.
Oh, so it was like expired.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So then how did that work? Did they speak English or were you speaking Portuguese?
No, that was before I moved here. I was with a friend and I didn't speak any Portuguese. So we had to get out of the bus. Yes.
Even though you paid?
Yes. Because they
didn't
believe
us. Wait, you didn't
tell
the driver? Like, I gave him money.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember. But we were already like one stop from our Airbnb. Okay. So we were like, oh, whatever. But I mean, if you had to go far, I would definitely like say something about it.
So someone got on the bus and checked everybody.
Yeah. That happens sometimes. I've never seen that. It happens sometimes. Yeah. They just step in and then they check all the cards with their machine. The same as on the train.
So then if you do the tap pay, then I would just have to show my receipt from the...
Yeah, like your tickets. I hope it has the wrong, it has the good time on it.
Oh, geez, I don't know. I guess but we'll if have you that experience and we'll let you know.
But if you pay with cards, I think you always have the proof because it's on your bank account. Like you can show that you paid. So I think that's kind of a safer way.
Yeah.
But I also noticed that sometimes your bank account, bank card doesn't work with the check-in because sometimes the machines are... I don't know, a bit old or just, I don't know, sometimes it just doesn't work. So that's why I still have always cash on me. Mm. And yeah, because it really sucks if the bus is already there and they will like leave you at the stop if you cannot pay.
You.
Yeah, yeah, they will. I remember one time I was going to Caparica to the other side and that bus is going like once an hour or two times an hour and it's always like super full. And I was waiting and the bus was coming and I had only 50 euros and I was already like, oh my God, like I'm so stupid because normally I always have like small money.
Yeah.
But I only had this 50. So I was already like, oh my God, I'm hoping that that guy will take me. And he was just saying I don't have cash, like enough cash.
Change,
so I just had to go out of the bus. And then I went to a restaurant and then asked them if
they didn't have the tap pay on there.
It didn't work. So that's why I got the 50 as a backup. But then the backup also didn't work.
Oh, no.
So then I had to get out of that bus and I was texting my friend like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry, but I'm going to be late because they didn't accept my 50. So I needed to go to like the closest cafe or restaurant. And I asked the people working there if they could change. So I had smaller money and then I went back. But then, of course, I needed to wait for another bus, like
another
so
30 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Well,
life stories in Lisbon.
Yeah, there's a lot of things.
There's a lot of things. I mean, we just both learned things here just in this episode, just talking about certain things that I was like, oh, okay, now I know. Yeah. I know.
We can add it to the list.
Yes. Well, you guys, thank you so much
thank
for
you.
Joining us for this episode.
Yeah, it was a long one.
It was.
Like, I need some water now. We talk so much, but still we have a lot of things left because I feel like we can talk for hours and hours and hours. I keep saying it. But that's why we're going to record a bonus episode. So, yeah, if you want to see that, you have to be like a Patreon member.
Yes. So we'll see you guys in the next one. Oh, our next episode.
Oh, yeah. I think I spoiled it already.
Is going to be about...
Ding-ding-ding.
So that's going to be a nice and juicy episode.
Spilling
so
all the tea.
Yes, we'll be
the hot, hot, hot tea.
All the tea.
I'm so excited. So see you next week for another episode. And thank you for watching.
Ciao.
This is from...
Oh, this is from...
From Lisbon with love. Ciao.
Ciao.
Oh my God. My whole back is wet.
Thanks for spending this time with us.
And for listening to our stories, our laughs, and a few of our growing pains.
If this episode resonated with you, share it with someone who needs a little Lisbon love in their life.
And don't forget to subscribe, rate, and leave us a review. It helps more hearts find our little corner of the world. From all of us,
from Lisbon with love.